Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe today, ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. And the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to Alter Bridge on January 30th at the Ryman. So make sure to get those questions in for D-Mace. We will get to those in 30 minutes. But before we do that, Titans on the road, road trip to the Chargers. And I mean, this, the Chargers have given the Titans just a bugaboo over the last few years. It's a long road trip to L.A. The Titans are in an 0-3 run the last three games. It feels like they've been defeated. And Rich Gannon mentions the same thing. He says, I think there's something going on in Tennessee. Bob Shoup said against the Jags that the body language is off. They just looked like a team that just felt defeated. The Titans are dealing with injuries. Christian Fulton likely out. Danico Autry likely out. David Long Jr. on IR. Treylon Burks still in concussion protocol as far as we know. We'll get the injury report in just a few minutes here. So it seems like everything is stacked against the Tennessee Titans going into this game against the Chargers. But there's one thing that makes me feel so much more confident about this team. There's one thing that if all the odds are stacked against the Titans, all but one, this is the one thing. And it's the coach. That this feels like an in Mike Vrabel trust type of game. Like, we call it the Mike Vrabel special. You lose to a team that you weren't supposed to lose to, and then you turn around when you just feel like there's no possible way that the Titans can win a game, and they win a game, and it's because Mike Vrabel, and it's what Mike Vrabel does best. And when you look at the matchup between Vrabel and Brandon Staley, I think Brandon Staley is a total doofus. Mm-hmm. I think that he does more harm than good to this Chargers team, and I think if the Chargers had a better coach, the Chargers would be in a way better position to make the playoffs and would be way better this year, but I mean, that's for a different day. But that's the one thing that makes me feel confident about this game, about this team. When all the odds feel like they're stacked against the Tennessee Titans, it's Mike Vrabel.
Okay. And most times, you know, I would say you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. But I think in this instance, it's tough because your injury situation and your roster situation, your depth, you don't have any. They face the Bengals. Now, the Bengals have a elite quarterback, and they got some playmakers. Even though they were without Ja'Marr Chase, they still had T. Higgins, who lit the Titans up. But we feel that Mike Vrabel was better than Cincinnati's coach. We would take him, Vrabel, over their coach, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Philadelphia Eagles, I think we would take Mike Vrabel. Now, they got immense talent, and they were all – it was on display that Sunday. They're healthy. But we think that, you know, if Mike Vrabel was coaching the Eagles, they'd probably be 11-1 instead of 10-1. I mean, 11-0 instead of 10-1. So if y'all don't agree with this, let me know. I think I would take Mike Vrabel over
the – yeah. Over a lot of coaches.
Exactly.
So, I take Mike Vrabel over Bill Belichick at this point.
We'll take him over Doug Peterson, even though – you know, Doug Peterson has won a Super Bowl, but I think a lot of Titans fans will say, well, I take Mike Vrabel. Over Peterson.
Yeah.
All right.
Vrabel's a top five coach in the league.
But he lost all three of those games. All three of them. There's nothing. I don't think Mike Vrabel, because we think he's a good coach and he has been proven to be a really good coach in this league, I don't think his coaching can overcome what has happened with this roster moving forward. I think they're at a point where you can put Bill Belichick on this team. You can put Andy Reid on this team. You can put Sean McVay on this team. You can put McDermott, you know, on it. Whatever coach you think is up there right now, mm-hmm. put him on this team. It's still going to look the same. So from here on out, I can't go with the premise alone that Mike Vrabel can win this game for the Tennessee Titans. In previous weeks, because they didn't have all these injuries at these key spots, yeah, he can do it when a secondary guy's not there, or maybe it's just Treylon Burks or Taylor Lewan's not there. He can overcome all of that. But when you're missing Danico Autry, But Dupree's not playing. Harold Landry's down. Your secondary's beat up. Your offensive line is in shambles. Your playmaker on wide receiver, he's out. You don't have no more playmakers other than Chika Conkle. Oh, by the way, Hilliard's out too. You can't overcome all that. I don't care how good of a coach. You couldn't overcome it against a Jaguar team who we believe you're better than. How do you expect to overcome it against a Charger team that is getting healthier and they still have their elite quarterback at the helm? So it's hard for me to go into this game.
Aren't you guys a little surprised? Are you guys a little surprised? I was a little surprised. The line right now as it sits is only about 3. I thought it might be more like 4 or 5, but it does illustrate the Chargers still do have some issues injury-wise. You know, they've got some key guys, but I'm very worried about the Titans defensively. They have not been able to get to the quarterback at all the last few weeks. And in the meantime, the Chargers now have Mike Williams back and Keenan Allen back at the same time. And so that's a recipe where I wonder. I mean, do they have the horses defensively to match up? Because that's where it all starts. I mean, you can't expect them to go out and outgun the Chargers and light up the scoreboard for 30, 35 points. They're going to have to win the way they've always won. But to do that, they've got to come up with a solid defensive game. And that's been difficult for them to do the last couple of weeks.
And I think that's where the concern lies, is you're going to have to get pressure on Justin Herbert. You have to. Well, the Titans have struggled with that recently because Danico Autry's out. Harold Landry's been out all season. They've been able to overcome that. But with no Danico Autry, this defensive line looks different. Even with a not-so-great offensive line in front of Joe Burrow, this defensive line without Danico Autry struggled to get to the quarterback. They've been struggling to get to the quarterback over the last few weeks. So, I mean, that's one thing. So are you going to try and rely on your secondary? Well, they've got 3 wide receivers. Keenan Allen, 6'2", 211 pounds. Mike Williams is 6'4", 218. Josh Palmer, 6'1", 210. Well, you got Roger McCreary, who is your lone starting corner, who's healthy and will be out there this game. He's 5'11", 190, and he's got little baby T-Rex arms. I don't feel good about this Titans secondary going up against Keenan Allen and Mike Williams if you can't get to the quarterback. And so, and with no Treylon Burks, you eliminate the threat of the passing game. So that's why I'm not saying it's going to work, but my last hope, I'm putting all of my eggs in Mike Vrabel's basket, that this feels like the kind of game. And I don't know if it will be. Sometimes,
I hope
point,
it is.
D-Maze, sometimes there's just too much to overcome. But Mike Vrabel has done it before. You lose to a bad team that you're not supposed to lose to, and then you go on the road with the odds stacked against you, and you beat a team that's better than you. We saw it last year against the Rams. No Derrick Henry, Sunday night football, long trip, road trip to L.A., and you're able to beat the Rams. And it's because they got pressure on Matthew Stafford.
But that defense was still
intact. That defense was so good.
It was still
And that
intact.
Defense was healthy, and that defense was able to get pressure on Matthew Stafford. This is the kind of game where it's in Mike Vrabel we trust. That's all I can put my hope into.
Well, and you know, I understand why. But I just think sometimes your deficiency is bigger than your ability to go out and do your job, where the circumstances is just too overwhelming. You know, for you to go out there and do your job and pull out a victory in this circumstance. We're starting to see now how much that defensive line meant to the whole defense. And it's typically like that with teams. If you know, Deion Sanders is not rolling out to bed, who else? Name any great defensive back. Mm-hmm. They're not coming in here for the Titans. But the defensive line for the whole season up until the last couple of weeks, they've been that saving grace. Because, one, I didn't believe they had depth at the position of cornerback. I thought they were a little bit inexperienced at that position at the beginning of the season. But the saving grace what held it all together, and what masked it was that front seven. Their ability, Jeffrey Simmons, Danico Autry, their ability to push that pocket up the middle, and then Bud Dupree coming from the outside. Now those guys are not there. David Long's not there to be your roamer, to be that guy that, that covers the back out the backfield. He do the, he does those intangibles that people don't really pay attention to. Danico Autry's not there. He's not able to take away, you know, if you want to double team Jeffrey Simmons, now you got Danico Autry one on one. He's going to kill you. He's just that type of player. He doesn't get the recognition. Those guys are not there now. Now you're seeing the lack of depth and a lack of experience and playmaking experience on that, in that secondary. Mm-hmm. They have none. Right now,
yeah.
Can they get better? Yes, they can get better. But right now, they're at a point where it's like, we don't have anything that's going to take the pressure off the secondary.
If you don't get to the quarterback,
yeah,
I mean, you're done.
We saw it last week. You don't get to the quarterback, they're going to just eat you alive.
Your DBs are not going to beat their wide receivers.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are right back into your phones. Can Mike Vrabel win this game for the Titans? And hey, if you're still looking for Christmas gifts, check out Nashville's Best Deals and get half off gift cards for Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. Ask D-Mace in 15 minutes. Get your questions in for D-Mace. 1025-1063 The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game, right to your phones, as promised. Tom is up next. What's up, Tom?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hello?
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 Tom? Yeah, go ahead. I think we lost Tom.
Tom, go ahead and call back.
Yeah, call back in, Tom.
Call back,
you'll be,
Tom. You know
you'll
the
be the
number,
first person to get through, Tom.
615-737-1025. One texter texts into the text line, says, I have no confidence that the Titans can win this game against the Chargers. Our defense is usually good enough to stop anyone's run game, but I feel like Justin Herbert's weapons are too good for us to contain in the secondary, and that'll help Austin Eckler eat us up.
Well, you know, that's what – I'm sorry, Willie. Go ahead.
I was concerned about the Eckler matchup, not only as a runner, but – as a pass catcher, and I see the Titans defense without David Long, who you would think as a matchup, his mobility would be important against a guy like Eckler. Without him in there, I'm concerned about what Eckler can do.
Yeah, you're right. That's one, you know, because even last week versus Jacksonville, they were able to do a few things, you know, not a lot, just a few. But then a week prior, you saw what P. Ryan was able to do. He didn't get a lot of yards, but he got critical. He made a few critical plays in that game.
And that's Samaje P. Ryan.
Exactly.
Like, that's not Joe Mixon. That's not their starting running back.
And when you have to deal with somebody like Eckler that can come out the backfield and catch the football, but also he can run between the tackles too. And the kid is shifty, quick, and he's hard to tackle. So you don't have David Long Jr. It's man, that's a big loss.
And the Chargers want to throw the ball.
Uh-huh.
The Chargers, I mean, Justin Herbert can drop back 40 or 50 times a game.
Oh, of course.
And that's what scares me, too, is they don't throw the football. All right, well, you got Austin Eckler. If you do throw the football, then, I mean, the
Mike
secondary
Williams
is going to get eaten up.
Exactly, Keenan
I mean,
Allen.
Like I mentioned, Keenan Allen, 6'2", 211 pounds. Mike Williams, 6'4", 218. Josh Palmer, who I don't think gets enough love. Josh Palmer's a pretty solid player, 6'1", 210. Roger McCreary, 5'11", 190. John Reed, who Mike Vrabel just seems to love so much, 5'10", 187. Josh Kalu is the only cornerback that's healthy that's over 6 feet. He's 6 feet 203. I mean, this secondary.
And I'm not looking for him to stop.
No. I mean, John Reed and Josh Kalu.
Is a special teams guy forced to play. That's who Josh Kalu is. He's a special teams guy that is forced to have to get in there and try to cover somebody.
All right, try this again. Tom, what's up, Tom?
Yes. Thank you for the call. This actually question is directed to Derek. I have been listening all week, and everybody has blamed the general manager, the coaches, everybody. But has anybody said anything about the strength and conditioning coach? Isn't that his job to get the players prepared and get them stronger? All these injuries that we're having, nobody has said anything about looking at the strength and conditioning coach. And I just like to hear your comments on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Willie, I think we touched on this, not this week, but we've touched on this prior. It might have been a couple weeks ago because I mentioned there was a year where they had a rash of injuries and everyone started to point toward the – strength and conditioning programs and the medical team over there at the Titans facility. And they were saying, well, why are all these guys getting injured? Or is there something with your strength and conditioning program that you are doing or aren't doing? So when it comes to stuff like that, it's hard to like pinpoint if that's the problem or not, because a lot of these guys, well, not a lot, let's just say, but a group of these guys work outside the building, like in the off season. And then when they come into the season, yes, it's with the strength and conditioning coach, but it's still your body. There's still things that you need. You can tell the strength and conditioning coach, hey, listen, this is what I think I need to be doing that's better for me. And they will work with you. You know, they're not just sitting there and say, you do what I tell you. No, they're working with each individual player and trying to put together a program that caters to that guy during the season, because you don't want to overload a guy during the season. But you want him to get some work in to make sure he maintains what he came into the season with. So it's hard to, like, pinpoint a point at the strength and conditioning because a lot of these – it's not like a lot of these injuries are hamstring injuries, whereas, correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, some years ago, it was a lot of hamstring, like soft tissue
injuries. Yeah, I think that's the last time I thought it came up a lot, is when they had a rash of hamstring injuries. And I thought that maybe that was a legit question. I just think that comes up a lot in all sports. Mm-hmm. Show me a team that has a rash of injuries, and then all of a sudden the question gets asked, well, what about the strength and conditioning program that they have? It sort of goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And I just say it's a thankless job, right? Nobody ever says, hey, they're staying healthy. What a great job the strength and conditioning coach must be doing. You know, it's difficult. So how do we know? Right. I just think sometimes guys get hurt and it's got nothing to do with, you know, the program that's put out there. But I don't think I'm qualified to answer that.
Yeah.
But I just noticed that comes up a lot.
It does, and I really noticed it last year, too, and I struggle with this because on one side, I think, like, Harold Landry didn't tear his ACL because of the strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Tannehill didn't get his ankle rolled up because of the strength and
conditioning Or
Jeffrey Simmons. Sometimes weird freak things just happen. This is football. But then I also think, well, this has been a problem that's riddled the Titans the last 2 years, that they've been at the top of the league in number of reserve players that they've had to use over the past 2 years. So why is this a recurring issue? Why is it always the Titans that seem to be struggling with injuries more than any other team in the league or at the top of the league? But then also it's like, well, maybe they're just unlucky and maybe they're just unfortunate. So it is something that comes up, I feel like, every year, but...
Yeah, I mean, you getting through a season where you're not injured. You can be hurt, but you're not injured. It's hard to do. It's hard to get through a season. And if you get through a season where you play all 17 games, yeah, you're hurt. Everybody's hurt. My ankle hurts. My back hurts. My hamstring hurts. My arm hurts. Well, that happens because you're getting pounded on. You know, you're just getting hit every other play, or if not every play, that's going to happen. It's the injured part that has derailed the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, again, if you make it through a season without being injured, you need to count your blessings, because it doesn't happen a lot unless you're like the kicker or the long snapper or the punter. But if you go through the season without getting injured, then, you know, you just thank your God for that, because this is a very physical sport, sort of like hockey, and every play is a car crash.
Right.
Every play. So
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your questions in for D-Maze, because coming up next, we will get to Ask D-Maze. And remember, the best question for D-Maze will win a pair of tickets to Alter Bridge on January 30th at the Ryman. We'll get into Ask D-Maze coming up next. But hey, Chase Willie and D-Maze is presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. 1025-106.3 The Game.
D-Maze. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him. anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace. Get your questions in for Derek Mason. Text him in, call them in. 615-737-1025. And remember, the best question for D-Mace today will win a pair of tickets to see Alter Bridge at the Ryman on January 30th. So get those questions in for D-Mace. We'll kick it off with Tony in Nolensville for with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Tony?
D-Mace, how are you?
What's going on? How you doing?
Met you down at the bowling alley, and I always try to have a tough question for you.
Okay,
so
bring
first
it.
First of all, I want to make sure, when you answer these questions, mm-hmm. are they pretty much, do you give a full-fledged, honest, the truth answer?
Absolutely.
Okay, my question.
I probably set myself up right there, but go ahead. Go ahead, Tony.
What do you get your wife for Christmas?
Well, I don't have a wife, so, so I'm not getting her anything.
So
for
you're
Christmas.
Off the hook.
Yeah, so I'm off the hook for the wife. But, you know, Tam, I will be getting her something for Christmas. My kids, Bailey, DJ, I will be getting them something for Christmas. So I got special people that I need to get things for. Bailey and DJ, obviously, are my children. So Tam, that's my partner. And her and I, so I'll get her some. I've gotten it already, so we'll see.
She might be listening. We
exactly.
don't want to spill the beans.
Yeah, so I can't say it.
Right.
I
something
can't
good,
say it.
Though.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Something
so,
good.
There you go.
All right, good question. On to the next one. One texter texts in a question for D-Mace. Is Bill Belichick actually a good coach, or did he have Tom Brady all those years?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think Bill Belichick is – it's a great coach. I mean, we've seen coaches with elite quarterbacks, and they haven't won 7 Super Bowls. You know, mm-hmm. that just don't happen. It's not happenstance that you win 7 Super Bowls. I think it has a little bit to do with, you know, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady together. I think together they're awesome. Now Tom has won one, you know, without Bill, and Bill is trying to build his team back up. But I can't sit here and say, well, it was because of Tom that they won those Super Bowls. It was because of Bill that they won those Super Bowls. Bill's a damn good coach. Bill's a great coach. But I think both of them together just made a dynasty, you know? So I'm not going to pick one or the other. Both of them, to me, are GOATs.
Even if you want to talk about the Brady versus Belichick feud, then mm-hmm. yeah, you could say that Brady's won it because he won a Super Bowl without Bill. Mm-hmm. But it's not binary. It's not one's good, one's bad. I mean, they're both pretty damn good at what they do.
Yeah, you're right about that. So, you know, hopefully that answered your question. It probably didn't, but, you know, I think it was just a combination of both of them.
Matt Texan asked D-Mace, now that we're being fully honest, mm-hmm. what's your most guilty pleasure, D-Mace?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Oh, yeah. my guilty pleasure. I mean,
I want to hear this.
I love sweets. I love it. I love it. And, I mean, listen, if you put in front of me, like, I love these almond butter cups. And they come, I get them from TJ's. You know what TJ's is.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
know what TJ's is. So I get it from TJ's, and it's at least 20 of them in a thing. If
the,
I don't
the,
pay
the
attention.
Mini ones,
yeah, if I don't
so
pay
good.
Attention, I can eat the whole thing in one sitting. And I'm talking about eat it in less than an hour. Like, and I will not feel bad about myself. I will eat it and go about my merry
As
business.
As you should.
Exactly.
As you should.
So that's sort of my guilty pleasure. I love sweets, and that's why I got to continue to be active, you know, because if I'm not active, then that sugar and everything just sits on you.
The activity and the green juices.
Exactly. Absolutely. Activity and green juices. But I hadn't been there in a while.
Have you found another source?
No, I haven't because – it was so convenient because it was like 5 minutes away from me. So nothing's – I like to be convenient. I like to have that convenience of every place that I go that I frequent, it's like within 10 minutes or 5 minutes. And fortunately, where I stay, everything is like 5 minutes away. I can't find another juice place. And I refuse. I'm stubborn when it's that. When I put my foot down, I am stubborn. I will admit that. So I may not be going back to that establishment for a while.
That's why he's the GOAT! The GOAT!
Henry checks in with a question for D-Maze. Past or present, the one guy that you wish you could have caught balls from?
Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. But, you know, the Tom Brady story is different because I had an opportunity to do it. And, you know, as, you know, as much I don't I'm not going to sit here and say I regret not going, because I had a wonderful time in Baltimore. And that organization is A++. Mm-hmm. And met a lot of great people and played with a lot of Hall of Fame players on that team. There was always, you know, it was either I was, you know, Steve McNair was coming in and Steve was sort of at the end of his career and he was hurt, but we did have one really good season with him, but it was only that one season because he was just so beat up.
Right.
And then Joe Flacco, I got Joe in his early years, you know, and Joe was just developing himself and whatnot. And it was fabulous playing with Joe. But it wasn't, I didn't have that sort of consistency in a sense. But Peyton Manning is one guy. I caught one ball from him, and that was in the Pro Bowl. But I would have loved to catch passes from Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. Now, Tom, I had an opportunity to do that, but I chose to go another route. Mm-hmm. But Peyton is the guy for me. Like, if I had an opportunity to go to Indy and catch footballs from him, I would have after
those
I left
two.
Here.
I mean, I feel like any wide receiver in the league exactly. or not would probably say, mm-hmm. I'd love to catch a pass from Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. I mean, goats. Another texter checks in. Who was your least favorite corner to line up against?
Least favorite corner to line up against? Ty Law. Many know we know Ty Law is Hall of Famer now. I think he got in the Hall of Fame a few years ago. It was well overdue. He was one of those guys, and I mentioned this before about Ty Law. I played against him briefly in college because he was – 2 years above me, ahead of me, when I got into college. So I played against him briefly, but I wasn't a starter, so I wasn't, you know, he didn't know me from a can of Vicks, like the late great Floyd would say, a jar of Vicks. But once we got in the NFL and I became a starter, it was just hard playing because he didn't have any weaknesses, no weaknesses at all. And it was just hard to play against a guy like that. He knew the game in and out. Ability to stop and go, you know, hips fluid. He was just one of those guys, and it was hard to go up against him.
Andrew from Dover texts in with something kind of along the same lines, but asks, who is your favorite DB to play against?
Favorite DB to play against? Man, I guess he's saying that because I toast him. I guess anybody on
or
Cleveland
if they
at the
gave
time.
You a fun challenge.
Cleveland. You know who
anybody who sucks was really
you know
fun
who,
to play against.
Who gave me, like, I love playing against him. He gave me a hard time, even in college. Sam Madison. Oh, man. You talking about I talk during the game? No, this guy never shut up. I mean, and now he's doing
was it
some
like
wonderful
trash talk?
Yeah, he would. But he was so funny with his. And now, you know, he segued that into radio in Miami. I think he's still doing radio down in Miami, sports radio there. And we've had him on in previous years. And he gets on, he starts going, and he's just entertaining. But during the game, man, he would never shut up. Like, never. Half of it would be funny, and then half of it you just didn't pay attention to. But that's one guy I enjoyed because he kept the game entertaining. He kept it. I could never, not say I wanted to, but I could never, like, take a playoff mm-hmm. or do anything because he would be right there. Sort of like Ty Law, but Ty Law didn't do any talking. Sam Madison did.
Can somebody tell me what's going on with this one? Aaron texted, D-Maze, Can you recap what happened with J-Rob? I missed it. Apparently, Aaron, has been at the White Lotus for the last couple of
exactly.
weeks. Exactly. Like, I came with no phone or anything, or he's just being very sarcastic.
Brother, oh, I don't know how to help you there.
Yeah, I don't know how to help you with that one.
You can check the Cliff Notes elsewhere.
He's been fired. So.
But we'll get into more of your questions for D-Mates coming up next. Your calls, your texts. We'll take those at 615-737-1025. And remember that the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Alter Bridge on January 30th at the Ryman. We'll get back into your questions for D-Mace coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Back to your phones for Ask D-Mace. And D-Mace is brought to you by Creation CBD. Find their healing products at creationcompany.com. Creation CBD products curated for life. Got a new sponsor for Ask D-Mace.
Yes, we do.
Look at you, awfully fancy. Let's get back into your phones, your questions for D-Mace. Kevin texts in and says, if you were to have played basketball, what college would you have gone to? Would you have been good enough for the pros?
I went to Michigan State. Come on now. I still went to Sparty Land.
Go green, go white.
Go green, go white. I still would have went. Would I have been good enough to make the NBA at 5'11"? Probably. Nah. My game wasn't that tight. Nah. Nah. I knew my sport. I got out of basketball very quickly. I'd have went to State regardless. That was just where I was destined to be.
Go Spartans.
You know? Go Spartans.
I got one question for you, D-Mace.
Go ahead.
Kind of looking at what the Titans are facing right now, some of the adversity. We had a couple texters text in yesterday and ask if there could be some division between the offense and the defense. Mm-hmm. If the defense has just gotten fed up with having to carry the load, and if the offense is, you know, not doing enough, and the defense is like, look, we're just frustrated with having to pick up all the pieces. Have you ever experienced that where you felt like as an offensive player, you were doing everything you could have and you got frustrated with the defense not picking up their weight?
For me, the two organizations that I spent the bulk of my career with, we always had defenses. Now, there were moments within those years where the defensive units got hurt and depleted with injury, but it wasn't like we didn't have, like, if we're fully healthy, we got guys that, you know, at points in time, you know, they were pushing close to historical numbers from a defensive standpoint, whether it be, you know, the Titans for those years that we were competing for AFC championships and going to the Super Bowl, or the Baltimore Ravens, you know, when we were going to AFC championship games. I've never been frustrated with what our defense – I was happy that we had the defense that we had, because at times, you know, our offenses could be inept. You know, whether I was here in Nashville or in Baltimore, there were times where our offense really struggled and the defense was there to pick us up each and every time. So I never got frustrated with the defense. You know, injuries happen and you get frustrated with the circumstance, but not necessarily with your defense.
Here's one from Craig, guys. D-Mace, I'm going down to Jacksonville in a few weeks when the Titans play the Jags. Mm-hmm. What's the go-to restaurant down there from your experience traveling there?
You know, Jacksonville was one of the places that I, you know, when we went there, I never did venture, like, as players, we would, you know, usually some places we would go out, like the receivers, we would go out and grab a bite to eat before meetings. I mean, yeah, right before meetings, we would go out and get something to eat and come on back. Jacksonville was one of those places because of where we stayed, there was nothing close in the vicinity. And back then, there was no Ubers or anything else. It was like, take a taxi. So we didn't venture out in Jacksonville. I don't think I ever went to a restaurant in Jacksonville, honestly. So I'm not the one that can help you.
It's a real spread out city. Yeah. That's not a downtown that has everything right there. Like
exactly.
Nashville, where, you know, you're right next to the stadium and you got all
or Cincinnati. So, like, Cincinnati's the same way. Yeah. Cincinnati, the stadium is right downtown. So if you want to go eat something, you know, the hotel is right there, and then there's restaurants that are just in the vicinity where you can walk to and go get something to eat.
Yeah, that's not one. I can't help you on that one either,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, Yelp is a wonderful tool.
Yeah. We ain't have Yelp back then. Us old guys talking to our Caroline. We ain't have Yelp back then.
For this texter that asked about the restaurants in Jacksonville, Yelp is a great tool.
Yes.
Jeff Texan says, I'm about to propose to my longtime girlfriend. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to do it?
To propose to your longtime girlfriend, I mean, the best way to do it is the way you feel comfortable. It could be at the place that you just, you know, you had met the first time. There's no like perfect way to, you know, to propose to your future wife. There's not. I mean, when I got married, I'm gonna tell you how it was, and I I'm a college student. Well, it was my last year. But, you know, I proposed. We were in the room and we were doing some things. And, you know, that night, and I think she was doing something. Marcia was doing something. And I end up, I pulled out the ring and I end up, you know, turning around and say, hey, will you marry me? And she's like, yeah. And it wasn't this big thing. It's like, whatever you feel like, just go with it. If you just feel like asking that person right at that moment and you believe it in your heart, go with it. It don't have to always be this big grandiose thing, you know, setting it up for. Well, now it's different because now you got to set it up for Twitter or Facebook or Instagram and make it look, you know, perfect. When in actuality, you're going to stumble over words. You are going to, I don't know,
nervous.
Cry. You're
yeah.
going to be nervous. You know, just do whatever makes you feel comfortable. And, you know, she will love it, you know, no matter what, mm-hmm. you know. So there you go.
Another text.
How about this one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead, Billy.
Another one on the text line here. This is a good one here. Josh from Dixon. Sticking with the holiday season, what was the most lavish gift you ever received? You could take that any number of directions.
Yeah.
The definition of lavish. But
What the most lavish gift that I've gotten? I don't know, man, because I think after a while, when you're fortunate enough to live a certain lifestyle, you sort of kind of get the things that you want, like, throughout the years. Not it's like, okay, I want this, I can get it. This is because I didn't use it, and my daughter brought this up the last time she was here too. The kids and their mom, Marcy, bought me, this was maybe 6 years ago, 7 years, somewhere around there. They bought me this this sort of NASCAR thing because they know I love cars, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff. Now it's fallen on my son. He loves cars too. But they got me this deal where I think it was out west. It might have been in California, where I can ride, like take this ride on a course, like a NASCAR thing,
in
a fast car, like whatever car that I wanted to pick, like Lamborghini, whatever it was. But it was like this package where I can get in there and I can experience what the drivers experience.
That's
and
awesome.
It was awesome, but I didn't take advantage of it, you know, because I could never find time to go out to LA and you know, take advantage of it. So I never did. But that was probably the best one that I've gotten. And the kids have always gotten me something for Christmas. And it's, you know, whether it was a watch or a candle, to me, it's what I wanted. So it was lavish. But that was one thing that they got me, and I didn't use it. And I kicked myself in the butt to this day because she brought it up. Bailey brought it up, I think. The last time she was here, it's like, yeah, we got it. I'm like, God, I know.
Can you still use it?
No, I can't use it. That was so long ago. And they might, yeah.
The kids were
upset. I think they were a little bit like, Dad, why you didn't use it? I'm like, man, I should have used it.
So, it's one of those things, yeah, you're like, I'll do it, I'll do
exactly.
it.
Exactly, and keep putting it off and then never get an opportunity to do it. So, because it expired after like a year.
Doug in Franklin texts in and says, what about the best gifts among teammates?
Oh, wow. Shoot, I mean, you guys have gotten telephones, cell phones, and, you know, stuff of that nature. It's not like watches or anything.
Because it's become like a big thing.
Yeah,
like
it has become.
Quarterback gifts or linemen or whatever.
These guys are making more money now. There's more things out.
Right, like cool shoes
exactly.
or watches.
Yeah, so Man, I think I forgot. I can't even remember back then. Because after a while, you know, you stop doing. You do it every once in a while during Christmas. You know, the receivers or the offense or the quarterbacks themselves, they swap gifts. But I don't think we – I think what we started doing was instead of us swapping gifts, we – everybody pooled their money together and gave it to the staff, like the equipment people, the trainers, nice. You know, stuff like that. So that was our gift from everybody to them. So we started doing more stuff like that instead of giving each other stuff.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they still do it. I'm pretty sure they still do it, man. Because, again, like you said, Willie, a lot of times those are thankless jobs that these men and women are doing and, you know, washing our clothes and picking stuff up and all this other stuff. So it's like you want to, you know, show them that you do appreciate them, you know, right around the holiday time.
Another texter texts in and asks, what's the hardest part of the season? Late in the season when you're banged up, early in the season when you're trying to get hyped up, toughest part of the season for a player?
I think the end of the season for every team, regardless if you're doing well or if you're not, the end of the season because, you know, everyone's beat up and tired and it's getting cold depending on where you're at. So I think that's the toughest time of the year because if you're a playoff team, it's tough physically, but then you got to get yourself going again for the playoffs. So I found that last month of the season is tough.
That was Ask D-Mace. And remember that the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Alter Bridge on January 30th at the Ryman. And, of course, Ask D-Mace is now brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at CurationeCompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Coming up next, we'll chat with Titans great and TSU head coach Eddie George. That's all coming up next. And, hey, play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.